I never give up. I was a fighter, and I always, you know, was fighting from the beginning to the end. And I think my mental, you know, health was very, very strong. And these days in tennis is very important. I have a very, like, a strong character in the terms that when I say something and I wanted to achieve something, I go for it.
Right.
As a Spaniard, I always was dreaming to win, you know, we want to win the French Open because it's our favorite, you know, Grand Slam, because we grew up on clay, and you want to win that for the first time, right? I know that I was be able probably one day to win it because I have the possibilities and the skills to do it. But honestly, I never thought that I would come at the age of 17.
Okay, Patrick McEnroe here, president of the International Tennis Hall of Fame, and we have a special tennis-worthy podcast today with our own Hall of Famer, Arantxa Sánchez Vicario. Great to see you. Great to have you back in Newport. How does it feel to be back?
Thank you so much. It's great to be back. It's been a long time, you know, since I've been here. I see how, you know, the improvements every time, you know, for it's getting better and better. But I have to admit it, I didn't been here since 2007, since I get inducted.
That was the year of your induction, right?
I get inducted with Pete Sampras that year. Wow. And I have a wonderful memories. I still, now walking through, I still remember the great moments, the atmosphere, you know, like very emotional moments. And obviously my whole family was there, and I cry as well with the emotions. And it's the best, you know, can ever have as an athlete to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. So it's great to be back here.
And were you able to see yet the new renovations in the new museum?
Yes, I did.
Very cool,
yes,
right?
Yes, very cool. I mean, as I say, it's amazing how, you know, it's getting better and better. And definitely it's a great history of tennis here. And you have to come and see it, you know, and watch it yourself and be part of this wonderful, you know, place and atmosphere.
Well, we are very happy to have you back for our induction weekend. This particular episode, we want to talk a little bit about confidence, which you had plenty of. All Hall of Famers have to have that. But before we get into that, I just came from New York in the U.S. Open. We'll be heading back there, of course, at the end of our induction, where they had the brand new mixed doubles competition. And we saw the Italian team of Errani and Vavasori, the quote-unquote doubles specialists, beating Casper Ruud and Iga Swiatek, two great singles players, in the championship match, defending their title when it was a more traditional mixed doubles. You're one of those Hall of Famers, there's not that many of them, that were incredibly successful in singles and in doubles, multiple majors for you in all three genres. But what did you think of it? And I bet that Arantxa Sánchez Vicario would have liked to have that back in your day. What do you think?
Well, I think that is a very interesting, you know, event, obviously. And as you say, for me, would it be wonderful to have it when I play, you know, my generation, because at times, because I was the only player probably who plays singles, doubles and mixed doubles in all three events, when that was very unusual and has not happened. And I have success in all three. As you say, there is a point that I almost, you know, that I win, I think, all three in the same, you know, time. So it was a half to
you
play.
You won all three of the same tournament?
I don't know.
Maybe that's the same tournament or same year.
For sure, I played the three finals.
Yes.
That's for sure. I don't know if it's the same year or maybe the year after. As you know,
I really should have done my homework on that.
So,
that's terrible,
I don't know,
of me as a host.
It's been too long, Patrick. It's been too long, you know. And but definitely, yeah, I would have, you know, be happy to have it before, because like this, I don't have to play so many matches.
Right.
And it's a good preparation. And it's wonderful to have the opportunity to practice, to have the, you know, the atmosphere, people get to watch you play. And then there is like the single players who normally plays regular singles, you know, events only, like, you know, concentrate for singles, and the doubles players that they're there. So it makes the combination, I think, very interesting. And there's a lot of talking, you know, going on, but he's been talking for so long. And I guess for the spectators, it was fantastic. The players enjoyed it. And I wouldn't mind to have it the way it is right now for, you know,
avoid a lot of
I play. But I was happy enough to play because mixed doubles is a lot of fun. I think that is completely different, but it is much faster. And I think they also reduce, you know, the as a four-game format, you know, is much better. So I'm happy. I think there was a lot of success. And yeah, the Italians won. I think probably defending his title, as you said, you know, they're very good doubles, you know, players. And but I think the single players, you know, all the good players were there, have a good time, and they're enjoying a lot.
Yeah, and definitely the fans did. If you would have told me, Arantxa, a year ago that there would be over 20,000 people inside Arthur Ashe Stadium to see the mixed doubles tournament.
No, that was what I'm saying. I never thought, and I think that it's been talking for so long that the expectations were, you know, bigger and bigger, but it's amazing to see how people, you know, appreciate the game, how many people wants to see, even, you know, everybody on on the core playing this kind of event. And I think that there's a, you know, has had a lot of success.
Before we get into confidence, obviously you had a lot of confidence, but you also had a lot of skill, right, as a player, which enabled you to play at the highest level in singles, doubles, and mixed. What were the specific skills that enabled you to do all three and do them that well?
Well, definitely, I think that I was a player that, you know, my probably my physical condition was really good. I never had in 16, 17 years a professional on the tour. I only have two bad injuries in my career. I never had to pass surgery, you know, and I've been, and I play, as you say, I was playing mostly in Grand Slams, you know, like 7 plus 7, you know, 40 matches in, you know, in 2 weeks,
right,
plus the mixed doubles. So if you count things more, and then the weeks after I play almost and getting, you know, like semifinals, finals, or winning. So it's a lot of matches, but I think my schedule was the priority to do a good schedule. The recovery was very important because you need to recover for competing. And definitely, I was very important for me to, you know, to have my condition in the perfect shape, but also, you know, like learning to be able to stop when you have to, your body say stops, right? So, and my skills were like, you know, my tenacity, my probably, you know, consistency, my, you know, I never give up. I was a fighter and I always, you know, was fighting from the beginning to the end. And I think my mental, you know, health was very, very strong. And these days in tennis is very important. And I was be able to be able to, you know, be concentrated when I have to, but also after when I stopped, you know, not be on the court, do things that relax me to have, to be ability to be away for a while, not to think only about tennis. I have my family who also helps me to get me, you know, be away and do things that away with my brothers. And so it was, that's something that I think that I try to go day by day, but definitely always be, you know, perfect to be able to compete when I have to, and then also resting.
Patrick McEnroe here on the Tennis Worthy podcast with the great Arantxa Sánchez Vaquero. We're here in the museum. We're on the third floor right now. We're up in, like, we store everything. So it's kind of cool to walk around and see everything. We have, like, only like 10% of the stuff that the Hall of Fame has is actually on display. So there's so much more. So that's where we are right now, just for everybody listening. But you mentioned a few things, Arantxa, there in your last answer, which really showed you were kind of ahead of the game, because now many players and professional athletes talk about mental health, talk about recovery, talk about doing other things outside the game, talk about competing, and it seemed like you had all those things. Where did they come from? I know you had your two brothers who were, you know, I played with and against, were great players, you know, so you had that in the family. But what made you be able to see the importance of all those things at such a young age? You won your first major as a 17-year-old.
Yeah, correct. I think it's, I was a person that I always, you know, I was always very competitive person. I, even if I was doing another sport, I wanted to win anyway. So I always felt that I wanted to, you know, have confidence with myself. And that's something very important, that I know that when I'm going to get there, I'm going to give my best. It doesn't matter. If they want to beat me, they have to beat me. I'm not going to give the match, or I'm going to, you know, lose the match. So I think the confidence, as you say, is very important. I was very, you know, I have a very, like, a strong character in the terms that when I say something and I wanted to achieve something, I go for it.
Right.
And I think that I put some goals on my life that I think that helps me to get better, the motivations, and also the to get better every day, and to be able to improve and learn things. And I was very curious, you know, when I was younger as well. So I absorbed everything. And coming from a young, you know, a fourth of the family who was in tennis in my family, I think I absorbed everything that I was hearing from my brothers or somebody to get it, you know, for me. And after, when I go, you know, my thing, the most important is that the way I was practicing is the way I was competing. Mm. And that's something that helped me a lot to be able to be always in the best of my game, and the tenacity and the discipline. And then also, I don't know, I have it since I was very little. I think I grew up with a little bit of that, but I was always a hard worker. And I think that pays off and it shows when I was playing.
You know, you won your majors, four of them, three in Roland Garros, one in New York at the US Open. You played finals. People don't even realize that you were an excellent grass court player. You played a couple of epic finals against Steffi. You played quite a few, actually, against Steffi in all the in many of the majors, but on grass as well. You were known as more of a defensive player, but how were you able to adapt to the different conditions so well? Because, you know, most people thought of you, well, she's, as you said, very tough, very well conditioned, very fast, more of a counter puncher, but obviously you had great skills at the net as well. So how were you able to kind of morph your game into being successful on every surface?
Well, it's funny and it's great that you say this, you know, Patrick, because people always remember when you win, you know, the Grand Slam. But it's only two who gets to the finals. And I lost eight other finals of Grand Slam.
Yeah,
so,
you were in 12 total finals.
Imagine people when they ask me, it's like, yeah, I play on all different surfaces. And definitely now, I think the Wimbledon grass right now, this age, if I would have this grass, for sure, I don't think I would lose the two finals when I play because on my... On my times, the ball bounced so low, it was faster, the grass was lower, and you couldn't play more than probably five or six balls, you know, from the back of the court. Now you can play because the ball spans higher and everything, and you can play longer rallies. So I think that would help me the run right now, but even I was there, you know, and I have, you know, chances, especially in one that, you know, I have
I
this
it was
long...
Was it 7-5 in the third?
Yeah, it was the longest game, I think 29 minutes last, the 5-all game in the third. So it couldn't go back and forth, and at the end you lose it for 1 point, you know, the final. Right. But as you say, I think that my people were thinking maybe I was more a defensive player, but to be able to be number one as I was and to take away Steffi Graf and then later, you know, Monica Seles.
Monica Seles. So you had to deal with two of the all-time greats.
Exactly. I have to deal with two of the best, you know, in that generation and that moment. So it was tough and I cannot only be defensive. I have to be attacking. So what I did is try to build and to learn how to be more also coming more to the net, more aggressive. And for that, the doubles skills, you know, helped me in the mixed doubles because there I can improve my serve, my volley, my returns and everything and then use it for my singles, you know, matches afterwards. And so I took, you know, time for me to adapt that and to improve, to get it together with my, you know, my footwork and my skills of, you know, defensive and then attacking and then come more to the net. And like this, I start winning more matches as well and more tournaments on different surfaces, not only on clay like I used to. I went in hardcore. I went on grass, I went indoor, supreme and everything. And then I play as well the finals as the championships at the end of the year,
right,
you know, in Madison Square Garden, you know. So definitely I kind of improved that and I become more like a surfing volley, even my heights were not, but because I was, you know, very fast and I was be able to adapt and wait until I have the opportunity to come more to the net and win more points there. So that's combined with my game that it was like, you know, from the baseline, it makes me one of the best players to beat. And then also... Players don't like to play me because I never give up. I always give them one extra ball.
Right.
And also, I never play the same ball two times. I have variety. I can play, you know, spin. I can play slice. I can play flat. I can play drop shots. I can go to the net. I can, you know, stay defensive and then attacking. So I don't think many players, you know, can do that at the same time.
Right.
But probably I was not the tallest and the strongest, but I was the fastest and smartest. So I think that helped me and I can get to number one and... I worked hard to get there, and it was not easy in my generation, but I'm happy to be beating the best, you know, of my times.
Well, we're happy to have you here on the Tennis Worthy Podcast. I have to get this off my chest because you may not even be aware of this, Aranja, but I did win one major in my career in doubles, and it was at the French Open at Roland Garros, and you know when it was. It was right after you won your first singles title. And I want to thank you for letting me be part of that day because I want to thank you, but I also want to tell you I'm a little pissed at you because you and Steffi played one of the most amazing matches of all time. And I had to go out there and follow you. And this was before the days of the lights and the, you know, roofs and all that. So I played the men's doubles, which in those years was best of five sets. So I think it was the quarterfinals on. There weren't that many people in the audience when we finished that doubles match. And I blame it on you and Steffi because you played one of the most epic finals ever. So that's my little story connects me with you. But what I want to know more importantly is that was your first win.
Yes.
In a major. And to beat Steffi the way you did it in such an epic final. At the time, you were the youngest. Monica then won it the next year at 16.
Correct.
But you were 17 that year when you won it. What was that like to win your first major as just a teenager?
Well, I think that, you know, as a Spaniard, I always was dreaming to win, you know, we want to win the French Open because it's our favorite, you know, Grand Slam because we grew up on clay and you want to win that for the first time, right? I know that I was be able probably one day to win it because I have the possibilities and the skills to do it. But honestly, I never thought that I would come at the age of 17, honestly. But I have to admit that the year previously before, you know, in 88, at the age of 16, I beat Chris Evert, you know, on the third round of the French Open. Mm. So if you're beating Chris Evert, who was the all-time great clay quarter player, on the third round of the French Open, and obviously the number one ranking player in the world, you said to yourself, well, if I beat the best player, one day I can win here, right? Mm. So I remember that after that win, that gives me confidence, and I went to the, you know, to play, the, you know, match by match, and I probably surprised everybody because I get to the final of that year. And I've played, as you say, one of the best matches, you know, I ever played in my career. I have nothing to lose. The crowd was behind me because you are the underdog. And they always wanted to have a match. And the story was that the years previously in 88, you remember, Steffi beat Natasha Zvereva.
Six love.
In 37 minutes. Right. And she was ranked number 5 in the world. So people thought, if she did that with a number 5 rank in the world against this 17-year-old Spaniard who was in the final, it's going to be even faster final. So
34
they remember, I'm going to tell you this because this is a funny story. I was so happy to go to the press conference. Yeah, obviously, you know how the journalists are. First question. They don't say to me, congratulations, you are in the final. First question. How many games do you think you're going to win tomorrow? So my face was like, I look at to him, and I was like, no, you have to be, inside of me, I say, you have to be kidding me. You, at least you can say congratulations.
Right, right.
And maybe what you
think.
And then ask me questions, right. Say, what about tomorrow?
Right.
My reaction was, we'll talk tomorrow. That was my reaction. Mm. But I was like, inside of me, I say, why they have to be like this, you know? Mm. So I do the press conference, wherever. After I left, I went to have dinner with my family, my coach. And I said to my coach and to everyone, you don't have to believe it, what happened to me. They asked me these questions. I'm already nervous because I'm playing the French Open final tomorrow. Right. I play Steffi Graf, who didn't lost a match in 2.5 years. I mean, she came there. I play, you know, the French Open in front. The whole country, Spain, is looking, you know, to watch this final. The king of Spain coming to support me on the court.
Oh, my God.
Everybody was watching me, you know. And I was saying to me, I went to sleep. I didn't sleep at all, Patrick. I swear. I woke up in the morning. I have, you know, this,
eyes.
And I'm like, I told everybody, I said, guys, we're going to change the way we're going to practice today until the match. I need to have a good breakfast. I need to go to warm up before the match so I can come out. And once I'm going to the court, I forget about everything. That's what I did. I changed, you know, my little bit, my dynamic. And once I walk into the court, I say, you know what? I'm not going to think about anymore. I'm just going to play my match. Mm. I know what I have to do to beat Steffi, but because I played here before and I know what the kind of plan I have. But I didn't expect it to win. And obviously, everything went so close. I won the first set after an hour. And then, you know, when she won 6-3. And then she served for the match at 5-3. Mm-hmm. And even the number one player in the world gets nervous.
Of course.
I broke it in love. Then 5-4. And then she left the court. And I didn't know until I saw her coming back. And I said, what's going on here? But I was so concentrated that I keep doing my game. And I have to admit, I ran so much, but I played an amazing match because you have to play unbelievable to beat Steffi because she was serving very well. She has the best forehand ever. She makes you open court. But I have one thing that she doesn't like, it, that I was my backhand down the line that it hurt her so much. And obviously as well, my slice, and then, you know, I mix it up and come into the net as well. So I make a lot of good, you know, games, game plan, and I play an amazing match, as you say, epic. And I think people also, you know, supported me because I was an underdog, and they know, and knowing that whole Spain was watching me and supporting me, that gives me an strength, you know, and gives me the motivation even better. And I won, you know, after, you know, 3.5 hours, 7-5 in the third. Yeah. Seven, you know, but I was like, and then I started crying. I cried of emotions. I cried of because, I mean, I my dream came true to win the French. I was only 17, but I have to admit that since that day, my life changed completely,
right.
Completely. But I, you know, went through the protocol without knowing that I couldn't go there, but I went to hug my family, and then, you know, the Queen of Spain, you know, congratulated me. So it was very emotional. And that was my first one, as you say, 17.
Right.
And then after that, you know, I knew I can win more, you know, for the years because I was, you know, probably getting more mature and everything. But then I learned as well for how to deal with the pressure because you don't know. Mm-hmm. And my life changed completely. And knowing Spain was putting a lot of pressure because I was the first, as you say, first Spanish woman to win the French Open, first Spanish woman to be number one in the world,
right.
Female or male. And then, you know, winning so many Grand Slams and be there and Olympic medals. And then obviously happy to be the pioneer because after we have as many good players as Rafa and, you know, Carlos Moya, Ferrero company. And now we have Alcaraz.
Yeah.
So
right.
I'm very happy. And then Conchita, you know, so we have many, many. But I was very, you know, very happy because I opened, you know, a door right. As a woman's sport in my country and become, you know, a legend as I was, you know, since I was 17 till now.
Right.
So it changed completely.
It's amazing how you handled that. It's like you said, to go from a 17-year-old, like an up-and-comer, to then becoming overnight a superstar, in especially in your own country, but over all around the world. It sounds like, and we've kind of danced around, you know, the topic of confidence, because it seems like, obviously, you had so much of that. Did it come from like an inner desire? Did it come from the fact that you had all the skills? Like, what would you say was the, you know, you just said, like, when you beat Chris Everett, it gave you confidence, right? We all know as tennis players, you win, you get more confidence. But where would you say it came from for you?
I think it comes probably from a will, you know, from inside of me, like, you know, like I wanted to be, you know, good, but I also wanted to be, you know, the best I could, you know. So I and the confidence that you say you build it, it's because you believe in yourself. And I always believe in myself that I know that I can do big things and I have to work harder than everybody else, probably because, as I say, I was not the tallest, but I knew that if I course continue, you know, doing, you know, my best every day, the things will kind of come. And probably, as you say, you know, the discipline, and I was like, you know, the desire to willing to do well. And probably, you know, as I like to work hard, and it's paying off, the work is paying off. So all that, and probably my mentality that I don't want to lose and never give up, that helps a lot to continue to get improved. And when you are young, you have nothing to lose. Later, you're dealing to how to learn with the pressure, right? And then, as I say, after I learned from 17 to deal the next year, because in Spain, everybody wants me to win everything. I say, hold on a second. You know, you have to let me have the adaptation to be from, you know, from being a normal child to be in the top of the game to win. So I have to learn. But for that reason, I'm also, as I say, I was learning, I was improving. Then you have people who help you as well, because before you, as you remember, it was not well known to know that you have a psychologist or somebody who was helping you. Now you can talk about it, right? So, but there's people who can help you to improve that, and it's nothing wrong. You just have to get, you know, the best things for you to become better. And that's what I did, and I worked as well with that, and I continue, and I think I have a very strong mentality, and that helped me to be the maturity on the core of the core, and to help me when I was playing in the matches as well.
Yeah, I think we're seeing that now with, I mean, I've heard this over the years from great players. Yvonne Lendl comes to mind, that when he, you know, concentrated on his physical fitness, that gave him a little more confidence, right? But now you're seeing it even with some of the top players now on the mental side. Iga Swiatek would be a good example. You know, she struggled a bit for her in the last year, and then, you know, she's always got her mental coach and working on different things, and, you know, plays the best Wimbledon she's ever played, wins Wimbledon. It sounds like that confidence for you was something that you always had as a young kid, and then you just kind of continued to develop it during your career. Is that correct?
Yes, I think I had it, and I developed it. And also because probably, as I say, you know, I come from a tennis family, also helped me to talk to my family and my brothers. So that also gave me the confidence, as I say, to continue doing, because I was going in the right direction as well. So I always have the good people on my side, and that's very important. And probably that helps a lot when you have people that they know, you know, what to help you to improve, you know, in different ways, and to take it. And then you are the one who has to do it, but go for it and try to always give your best. And then, as you say, you know, sometimes we have up and downs, all the tennis players, we have up and downs, but we have to learn to get away faster, you know, to continue to have the success as we have. And obviously it's normal that we, you know, that sometimes you have doubts, and you have, but you always try, because you have the confidence and you know you very well, and the people around you, your team knows you very well, helps you to be able to go away faster from those situations. So that's something very important. Before, we didn't have many people. We have maybe only the coach, or maybe if you're lucky, you have the family, someone family. But now they have everything, you know, they have doctors, and, you know, nutritionists, they have a psychologist.
Full teams,
you know, like many people. So everybody has her own, doing her own job, and the professionals who help. But at the same time, you are the one who has to find the way to do it, because with many voices, even if that, you have to find the solution yourself, because it's also individual sport, and to find the way and have the confidence to do it every time to get better and to improve and to continue the success.
Well, you had the confidence, obviously. You always did your best, which is, I think, a message for everybody listening out there, and whatever you do, to do that. And I want to thank you for joining me here on the Tennis Worthy podcast from the International Tennis Hall of Fame. Both you and I have some work to do now. We got to go out to those beautiful grass courts here in Newport and hit a few balls around with some nice people that donate to the Hall of Fame and other things. So we will do that. And welcome back again. And thank you for joining us on the podcast.
I really enjoyed it. And hope so bad we don't have much time, because we can go, you know, many more stories to tell.
Good. But yes. We'll do that another time.
Yes. But it's great to be back. And thanks for the opportunity. Yeah.
The great Arantxa Sánchez Vicario here on the Tennis Worthy podcast.